All right, let us bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, praise you, love you, and honor you. Appreciate you for all that you are, all that you mean. God, I ask that you would hide me beneath the cross, that you would think through my mind, speak through my mouth. God, illuminate the hearts, the ears, the spirits of your listeners, God. Let this be a moment where we will be eternally touched and blessed. Give us your word and feed us your word in a way that we will never be the same. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Would you grab your Bibles in your hands? Repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
Come on, let's do it one more time. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
I will have what it says I will have.
I'm
a part of Deliverance Temple. Where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually.
We connect with our Creator continually.
We confess our deliverance consistently.
We confess our deliverance consistently.
We commit to serve creatively.
We commit to serve creatively.
We communicate Christ's love compassionately.
We communicate Christ's love compassionately.
Father God,
feed me your word.
Now, if you believe you're going to be fed, make some noise. Amen. I know you're going to be fed every week, not because I am speaking the majority of the time, but because God is speaking. And whatever God is speaking, somebody said when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. But really, it should be when God speaks, everybody gets fed when God speaks. All right, so today we are not in a series. We're just going to be moving until I get into my next series. So today is a standalone message, and the title is called Belong. Belong. There are, since we are human beings, we're not human doings. And because we are human beings, the sense of belonging is quite important to all of us to find a place where you can belong, find a place where you can fit in. Hopefully, Deliverance Temple is a place where you feel like you have a sense of belonging. You don't feel like a stranger. You don't feel like a number. But as it comes to the things of God and as it relates to the things of God, that sense of belonging is very important. Early in the service, in the prayer time, Sister Ruth was praying for our young people, praying for our kids. We consistently and increasingly see them operating in violence, making poor choices. But many times, many of our kids don't have the sense of belonging. A lot of times it takes maturity to find out that you can fit in. And because the young people can be harsh and cruel, a lot of times kids don't know where they belong. But that can go into our adult years and in our adult age, and we could be searching for significance, but I'm here to let you know all the significance you need is found in God. And once you understand that, it really will increase your habitation of life because you know you belong. Somebody say, I belong.
I belong.
All right, I want to move and give us a definition of belong. And they'll bring it up here for us. It's to be the property of, to be the rightful possession of, to be a member or part of, that belonging, to be the property of, to be the rightful possession of, to be a member or a part of. Before I move on, I'm going to talk to you women for a second. When a woman has a good man, there is a sense of belonging that y'all will almost do anything for when you feel safe and you feel like that brother got my back. He got me. When you got a man that can hold you down, that got you, that where you feel that sense of safety and security and belonging, it makes your knees weak. It makes your legs shake. It's something about having a man in your life that makes you feel secure. And if you can feel that about human man, what about God himself? And When you give up and trade in all the things you're chasing for the love of God, and you find he's the only thing that will satisfy, he's the only thing that will make you feel safe and secure, there's a sense of, I belong. But a lot of people are still searching for significance in so many other things, and we have the truth. So with that understanding, let's move from there. And I'm going to show us where we're headed. And so we're going to talk about truths from 1 Peter chapter 1. Most of the things, I have a few other verses, but most of the things are going to come from 1 Peter chapter 1. And so the first point is this. They'll bring it up for us. It's the point of hope. There is a certain hope in God, specifically in belonging to God. Let's define hope for a second. Here it is. It is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen that causes you to have hope. Someone says when hope is deferred, it makes the heart sick. And so when you have a high expectation that something is going to happen, you are hopeful about it. One of the things that I have learned in my life is sometimes I've learned how to lower my expectation, not in a negative way, but there's so many things you are hoping for and expecting to happen that sometimes life can be disappointing. So sometimes you have to just embrace the simple things. One of the simple things that I embrace somewhere on Sunday, I'm going to get me a Sunday nap. And it ain't nothing like a Sunday nap. And so even though I'm excited about preaching, sometimes I'm excited about dressing up and excited about eating, I'm also excited and expecting my Sunday nap. And if you interrupt my Sunday nap, I get a little irritated because I'm expecting it. I'm hoping for it. And sometimes I just like to get into bed and lay down. The older I get, I don't just like Sunday naps. I like naps in general. Wherever I can get them, wherever I can find them, a good nap can bless your life. Sometimes when I wake up, the problem is still there, but ain't no need me worrying when I can take a nap. Just get a nap. And so sometimes when you have a hope that is just a simple hope, sometimes we got to simplify life. I hope to get a hamburger. I hope to get a nap. I hope to get a check. Sometimes if you can simplify things, it'll raise your level of expectation. But on the grander scheme and on the grander scale, hope in God is beautiful. Now, hope itself can be a disappointing journey because life is an up and down roller coaster. But when you have placed your hope in God, what you begin to understand that I don't know when and I don't know how, but somehow everything's going to work out for my good, and it raises your level of expectation. And so hope in God is good. Now let's go to 1 Peter. We're going to go to the third verse. Mother Mitchell will have you read it.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
So Pastor Andre, Peter is saying you can hope in more than just the Sunday nap. I got more for you than just that. And he says, I have caused you to be born again and birthed into a living hope. What is our living hope? Our living hope is that our life is not just our life. The scripture says, if all we do is live and die, we would be men most miserable, but we live to live again. So we have a hope that this is not it. So just in case I don't get what I want, if I don't get the Sunday nap, if I don't get the house on the hill, if I don't get the extraordinary marriage, if I don't get the money that I want, I still get God and I still get heaven. And there is a living hope. That's why people who are going through hopeless situations can still praise God, because they were born into a living hope. This ain't all that I have. I've got more than this. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, because I got a living hope. And it is a hope. And here's what gives the hope. It is the resurrection of the dead. It is the fact that Jesus was raised to life. And so that when we die, we don't just die. We die to live again. We're raised to life and it's eternal life. And so, yes, we have the best thing going, even though we can't always see it right now. But it gives us a level of hope. I'm a hopeful person by nature, but when I look at some of the trials I've been through, I shouldn't be hopeful, but there's something in me that yet has me hopeful. I wake up more happy than I do sad. Sometimes when I'm supposed to be sad, I'm still happy because I have a hope that God is still watching over me. He's still looking after me. He's still taking care of me. And I have a hope that God knows the plans that he has for me. Plans to prosper me, to give me a hope, a future, and expect it in. So I keep on believing. I keep on hoping. I keep on trying. And to be honest, most of the time, I'm living a good life. I don't always get what I want, but if you talk to me, I'm going to have a happy disposition. I'm going to have a relaxed disposition, an easygoing disposition. Some of y'all, you've let life beat you up so much that you don't know how to laugh. You don't know how to relax. You don't know how to enjoy the little things. Yes, there's things going on in your life. Yes, you got to buy this. And yes, you got to take care of this. And yes, you got this bill and that bill. But that don't mean you can't enjoy a bologna sandwich and watch some Netflix and just learn how to live where you are and enjoy what you have. Because at the end of the day, you still have a hope that's greater than anything that the devil can do. So this is what the scripture says. Let's move on. So that's point number one is hope. Somebody say hope. Number two is in line with hope. It is an inheritance. So not only do we have a hope, we have an inheritance. The scripture says in Proverbs, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And it is speaking about a monetary thing, but we have inheritance that is greater than monetary. It is true. I wish my father could have left me millions of dollars, but he did not and he could not. But what he did leave me is still an inheritance. I talk about it all the time. What he left me a legacy. And even though money is good to have, the legacy that he left me is greater than the money. So let's look up here. I got the legacy up here. Let's put a definition of legacy. It is the long-lasting impact of particular events, actions, etc., that took place in the past or of a person's life. And so when you understand you have hope, you also understand you have an inheritance. It is an inheritance in God, a spiritual inheritance. And there's nothing wrong with having a natural inheritance too. Nothing wrong with you saving money so that when you do go, that people can be blessed. But we have an inheritance that is greater than just the natural things. And here's what you have to understand. You can birth into people and you can give people what you have, and it is expansive because it is not based on just natural things. Natural things are based on natural circumstances, but when you have a spiritual inheritance, you can impart spiritual things even though natural things aren't great. All right, for example, naturally your relationships may not have had a lot of love in them. Your mom and daddy may not have loved you properly. Your first man and your second man, your first woman and your second woman may not have loved you properly, but because you have God, you know how to love. That equation don't make sense, that all the humans in your life couldn't teach you how to love, couldn't show you how to love, but because you got God, people say they're so loving, they're so sweet. But the truth of the matter, I should be bitter, I should be mean, I should be nasty, I should be messy, I should be evil, but the difference is I got a spiritual inheritance. So no matter what's happened to me and what I've gone through, I come out, like Job says, I come out pure as gold. I come out white as snow. And that's our inheritance, that no matter what we face, even when we step in the fire, we come out better than what we went in because we got God in our life. That's a hope and it's an inheritance. Now look at 1 Peter 4 and 5. It says what?
And into an inheritance that can never perish,
spoil
or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you.
It's greater than a natural inheritance because it can't spoil. It can't fade. You can't take it from me. You can't rob me from it. It doesn't go into probate court. What probate court is, people can leave you money and the state will take it and take the taxes. And what they thought they was leaving you, you don't even get because there's all these laws. But this spiritual inheritance, you can't take it from me. See, the devil has tried, but he knows he can't take it from me. Only thing he can do is get me to give it up and turn it over, but he can't take it from me. He can't rob me from me. I got something that's kept for me in heaven that nobody can take from me. What God has for me, it still is for me. It's an inheritance. It's not going to perish. It doesn't have an expiration date. It's almost like wine. It gets better with time. If I don't get it today, if I don't get it tomorrow, if I don't get it to the end of my life, it'll be better when I get it. It is an inheritance, and that inheritance gives me hope. All right, next verse, verse 5.
Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time.
So there are some things that is not even going to show up until the last time. And the way we protect it, we shield it through faith. In other words, we keep on believing. Do you realize that we are here in church today talking about a God that we've never seen? I can't see him, don't know what he looks like. I'm reading about a Jesus that I haven't seen. Yes, they painted pictures, but I ain't really seen him. I have to believe by faith, but even though I can't see him, I know he's real. Yeah. I feel that he's real because that's inheritance. Now, most people will look at us and say, we're crazy. You're believing a fairy tale. But I understand it wasn't a fairy tale that kept me in the midnight hour when I was crying myself to sleep. I know it wasn't a fairy tale. It was the presence of God. And I know I can't see him, but you can't convince me that he's not real because I have an inheritance that's not normal and it's not natural.
Hallelujah.
I do know I have had experiences in my life where I have seen and felt God in supernatural ways, but those things are actually few and far between. In most of your life, you just got to trust the process. And that's not necessarily easy. It's not necessarily fun. But one thing I've learned is saved folk and unsaved folk alike go through junk. I might as well go through junk believing than go through junk not believing. And I've learned that those who believe, they go through. Those who don't believe get stuck in. I've been in some stuff, but I've also come through some stuff. And the reason why I came through some stuff is because I had a belief. I had a hope in the inheritance that God's not going to leave me like he found me. So honestly, I get better with age. Now, I'm going to talk just naturally and normally. I've seen people who don't know God, who gone through stuff and gone through sin, and you can see it on their face. You can see folk that look 60, and they say, you know, I just turned 40. And on the inside, you're thinking, how? 40 where? Because sin would wear on your body. But I didn't see, let me just pause and say something. Sister Frances Edmond, you can't tell how old she is. She looks so good because she's been walking with God. She has a faith, an inheritance, and a hope. And when folk walk with God, it can't help but shine on the outside. I don't look like what I've been through because I got a hope and an inheritance. And all of it is not natural stuff, not money and watches and clothes and vacations. I got a home in heaven secure for me. And it makes me happy when I shouldn't be happy. Makes me dance when I shouldn't be dancing. It makes me praise through the tears. It makes me come to church when things seem to be falling around me and crumbling. I still believe. That's an inheritance. That's a legacy. Now look at what Ephesians says. There's one scripture outside of Peter.
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
One of my favorite verses of what it says, the eyes of your understanding has to be enlightened. Most people can't even see this. It looks stupid. It looks crazy. How could you be grieving and still come back to church? How can you be broken in debt and still come back to church? Well, my eyes of my understanding have been enlightened. I got a hope of a calling and I have an inheritance, and I'm trusting that God's not going to let me down in the end. And I made up in my mind, I don't have to all get it on this side. I can wait and get some stuff on the other side. Eternal life belongs to me. So I'm just going to trust the process. Don't always like and trust in the process. Don't always enjoy trusting the process. But I've learned that it don't always have to be bad trusting the process. Here's the thing. I have sometimes the Lord had dealt with me some years ago that sometimes my prayers had turned into complaint sessions. I'm talking to God, and as I'm talking to God, I'm like, well, this ain't going right. And there's nothing wrong with talking to God. But what God did for me is allow people to say they wanted to meet with me. And when they tell me their problems, I realize the stuff I was complaining about wasn't that bad. And so God can sometimes put you on hush mouth, because if you think you've got it bad, all you got to do is bump into somebody. Bump into somebody who has amputated both of their legs and have to roll around in the wheelchair. And yes, you can't pay for your car, but you're getting in your car with your own two legs. You still got something to give God praise for. And like I've said 100 times, and I'll say it again, just go with me overseas and you'll find out how rich you are, how blessed you are, how fortunate you are. You don't have a lot to complain about like you think you do.
Amen.
Even in this church, there's some folk been through more hell than you in this church. All you got to do is talk to some folk and ask some folk. Everybody prays and hasn't had easy street. We've praised through some hard stuff, through some bad stuff. But somehow we still have hope because of the inheritance. And what is the inheritance? It was said in the last verse, but let me go ahead and put it up as point three. Here's the inheritance. It's salvation. The hope of the inheritance is the salvation. So at the end of the day, we have been delivered and rescued. We are at Deliverance Temple for a reason. If we were going to live on Easy Street and life was going to be a bowl of cherries, we should go to Bowl of Cherries Temple. Easy Street Temple. No, we are at Deliverance Temple, which means we need deliverance and we're going through deliverance and we have to confess our deliverance. But I wouldn't want to be any other place, because I'm called here. And also I know that I'm going to get deliverance and find deliverance. And let me be honest, I have found deliverance in this place. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not who I want to be, but I'm not who I used to be because I have some salvation.
Yes.
Now, salvation, when you look at it in the Greek word, the Greek word of salvation is soteria or soterion. It means healing, preservation, safety, soundness, and redemption. So it's not just go to heaven, I'm saved. It's more than that. It affects the whole life. It affects you from the rooter to the tutor, from the top to the bottom. And so long as you are in this life, you're going to have something you're going to need saving from. My mouth needs saving. My mind needs saving. My attitude needs saving. My money needs saving. My relationships need saving. My thoughts need saving. But I'm in the process, and I can tell you I'm not who I used to be because God been working on me.
Hallelujah.
And what does that do? That gives me hope that I have an inheritance, that when this time of life ends, I'm going to be able to say I'm saved. Whoever is going to preside over my eulogy, whoever is going to look over my casket, will not have to wonder, did he make it? They'll be able to know that he make it because I'm holding on to salvation right now. Young folk, let me talk to you. I know y'all got stuff going on in your life and you're tempted here and you're tempted there. But if I was you, I would grab hold of salvation right now. Because you don't know when your day is going to be called. You don't know when your number is going to be called. And hopefully you'll be able to be said of you that they were saved. Salvation. They were delivered. They were rescued. Some people think saved means perfect. No, you just rescued. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful. So rescue, God rescues us. And that's a beautiful thing, the fact to know that God will rescue us. I'm not a good swimmer, but I do like pools, but I feel a lot better when there's a lifeguard there. Because just in case I get in over my head, there's somebody to jump in there. And that is their only job, is to make sure I don't go under. Sometimes it's God's only job to sit back. I wonder where God is. I can't feel him. It don't look like he's talking. His only job is to jump in if you go under. And if he hasn't jumped in yet, that means you haven't gone under yet. So praise God that you're still making it. Hallelujah. What was it like? Good times. Keeping your head above water. Making a way if you can. Sometimes you just got to live how you got to live, knowing that in the end, you have salvation. Let's put a definition of salvation up. Here it is. It's preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. Pastor, I'm going to be ruined. No, you're not. Because God going to save you before you get ruined. Now, this situation may have ruined you, but somehow you're going to be better than what it humanly is possible. There's some stuff that don't make sense. It doesn't make sense why we are sitting in here praising God. We should be sticking our head in the sand. We should have crazy jackets on us. We should be in Hillcross somewhere. But it don't make sense because God wouldn't let us go to ruin. Yes, the devil wanted to ruin us, but God wouldn't let it happen. When you got divorced, it was the Satan's design to ruin you, but somehow you went through the divorce and you're better than you were when you went in, because God knows how to fix stuff up. He good. He's like one of them good cooks that can take what don't look good. He can go in a refrigerator and take what doesn't look good and make a masterpiece. And let me tell you something. When God found me, I didn't look good. I didn't have a whole lot. But he knows how to make a masterpiece after something small. And if you trust God, he'll make a masterpiece out of your life. The master will take your pieces and make a masterpiece out of your life. All right, let's look at 1 Peter 6-9. We're continuing in the story.
In all this, you greatly rejoice.
How do you rejoice?
Greatly.
Okay.
Though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials.
Yeah, he's telling the truth. You've had to suffer grief. But somehow you greatly rejoice. Every now and then, when I come out of the office, first of all, when I'm in the office, I'm hearing the songs, I'm praising in the office. But when I come out of the office, before I turn and praise the Lord, I just scan the audience. And sometimes I see y'all lifting your hands and praising. But some of y'all, I know what you've been through. And it don't make sense for you to be lifting your hands. And sometimes you don't even want to lift your hands. But something in you can't help but greatly rejoice. Because you understand that your life is not just your life. Your life is not just what you see. But you got something down on the inside that will praise the Lord and greatly rejoice. I done watched my wife being in some bad situations, but still find a way to praise the Lord. I done seen my mama in some rough situations, but still find a way to praise the Lord. I done seen y'all in some bad situations. Sister Teresa, I done seen you in some rough stuff, but you still found a way to praise the Lord. Not just in a little way, but you greatly rejoice. It's proof that God lives on the inside, because I couldn't do it by myself. I couldn't do it in my own strength. But when I thought I was going down, that's when God was picking me up. You know, the old footprints poem where there was two set of footprints, but when it was rough, I only saw one set of footprints. And they said, why is it in my hardest times I only see one set of footprints? And the answer is because that's when I carried you. You wasn't walking, it was me walking. The only reason why you're here is because he carried you. It's the hope, it's the inheritance, it's the salvation, it's the rescue. And I can praise God that he's rescued me in some bad stuff. That's why Jonathan Reynolds said, may your whole life prove God is good. May your bad days still prove God is good. May your struggles keep you near the cross. Here's the truth. I hate to admit it, but it's true. When you have easy street, you don't need the cross. When all your bills are paid and the relationship is perfect and everything's okay, many times as humans, we don't need God. But when life is falling apart, that's when we look to the hills from which cometh our help. Help comes from the Lord. Hopefully I can get to a place where I can love God when things are great. But the human species longs things are good. We're like the rabbit and the turtle in the race. I can chill. I can relax. Don't really need church. Don't really need God. Don't really need to pray. I forgot to pray. I forgot to read. I forgot to do this. But get in enough trouble, you won't forget to pray because you won't help you. That's the only thing you can do is pray. Cry and pray. Cry and pray. Wonder and pray. Think and pray. Don't let life come that hard before you realize the importance of your God. All right, let's move on. This is verse 7.
These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed.
Guess what? It's letting us know that when Jesus Christ is revealed, many people don't know this, but my father years ago when he incorporated the ministry, the name is not just Deliverance Temple. It's actually Deliverance Temple, the revelation of Jesus Christ Incorporated. So when you look up the files, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he explained that a delivered temple is what reveals Jesus Christ. And so this says that when he is revealed, that your faith is going to turn into praise and glory. In other words, you got to have a genuine faith. Let's put the scripture back up. I want to make a few key points. Though you having these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith. In other words, your faith has to be proven. Your faith has to be tested. Yeah. Some people can talk a good game, but they ain't never been tested. Yeah. And I can tell you, Deliverance Temple, we've been tested. And I can prove to you that the reason why we're still standing is because we got a real faith. We got a real love. We got a real hope. We got a real inheritance. And I only talk about a few things. I could talk about a lot of things because we've been through all kinds of stuff, seen all kinds of things. And me growing up in the church, even though I didn't start pastoring until 2011, I done seen some stuff that some of the people have gone through. And some of the newer people don't know. You just think, oh, she prays God all the time. And you don't really know. That's why it's good to have relationship with folk. To talk to people outside of the building and to find out what's happened. Talk to Sister Teresa and Brother Tommy and Sister Ruther and ask them how it is to have a brother murdered and how to go back to church. And the mother of the person that murdered your brother is at your church. Ask them how it is to praise God in a situation like that. You don't always understand what folk have been through because they've been in the house of God. You don't know how much it costs to stand under the anointing some folks stand under. You just think people coming to church just because, oh, I like to go to church. Yes, some people coming out of routine, but if you go to the Deliverance Temple, it ain't no routine. This is deep down in your spirit. Because we've all had reasons to throw in the towel. We've all had reasons to walk away from God. We've all had reasons to give up. But this is something that is so deep in us that we can't quit if we try.
Hallelujah.
And now I'm in the space of my life. I don't want to quit. I want to fight back.
Yes.
I want to punch the devil in his eye. Remember, my dad was sometimes saying, let me just hit the devil in his eye. I'm fighting back because I've been through too much hell to quit. But now I'm trying to go to the enemy's camp and tear some stuff up. Now, let me jump over here real quick and say this. That's why it does bother me some of the lazy Christians that are around. I'm fighting the devil and some folk can't even come to church.
Yeah.
Fighting the devil and some folk don't want to read the scripture. Listen, I'm not here to play church. I done been through so much spiritual warfare. This is not a play thing for me. I don't read the Bible just to preach. I need it to live, to fight what I need to fight. Ask Brother Will, the moment we walk in and clock in our job, there's demons waiting on us. There's just a cloud hovering over. Ask Sister Ella, when she goes to her job, there's just demons there. We are fighting real battles, and guess what? We're still winning.
Hallelujah, yeah.
But you don't win playing around. Now, LeBron James and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, when they went over there to the Olympics, guess what? They had to bring their A game.
Yes,
you don't get the gold medal playing around. You don't even get the bronze medal playing around. You don't even make it to the Olympics unless you're the best in your class. And some people think you're just going to show up to the Olympics and accidentally bump into a win. No, it costs you to win.
Yeah.
And it's cost us to win. But guess what it's doing? It's revealing Jesus Christ. It's revealing. We're not leaning on a denomination. We're not leaning on some bishop somewhere. We're leaning on Jesus Christ. And I tell you, don't lean on me because I'm just Andre at the end of the day. But when I stand under the authority of God, I'm the prophetic voice for this house. But I want you to lean on the Lord. Depend on the Lord. All right. And let me add this. If you are part of Deliverance Temple, if I was you, I would be more connected because you were part, the devil gonna fight you anyway.
That's right.
So if he gonna fight you, you might as well be all the way in because he gonna whoop you like you are anyway. So you might as well get on board and enjoy because when the reward comes, it'll be worth it all. All right, let's move on. Another verse.
These have come.
We've already read that. Let's move on to the next verse.
Though you have not seen him, you love him.
We talked about this. We love him. We don't see him, but we love him. Go ahead.
And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy.
The King James says unspeakable joy, full of glory. Peter is explaining what I'm talking about. We can't even see God. But we love him. The reason why some of y'all keep coming after all that's gone wrong in your life is you love him and you can't even explain why you love him. I wish I could quit God. I'm tired. It don't seem like it's working. But there's something in me. I love God and I love this church. And I'm coming. You try to take time off and you find yourself getting dressed when you didn't even want to come. I'm coming anyway because I love him. And then you realize I got inexpressible joy. I got joy that don't make sense. I shouldn't be praising. I should be somewhere doing this. I should be crazy, but I find myself praising. I find myself preaching. I find myself happy. I find myself laughing because I got joy that don't make sense. Now, guess who's going crazy? There is somebody doing this. It's the devil, because after all he threw at me, he knew I would go under, but somehow I'm still rising up to the top. It doesn't make sense, and it makes him feel crazy because we should have folded a long time ago. They should have just nailed on the door and said eviction notice. We should have just folded up and quit. Oh, but we ain't got quit in us.
Amen.
Even when we built the church, there were pages of the Bible down in the foundations under the concrete. We are literally, every time we come to church, we are literally standing on the word of God. And the word of God is upholding us. The word of God is keeping us from being shaky. We should have lost our balance. We should have gave up, but we got our footing back. We got our fight back. We got our joy back. We're about to get our peace back.
We about to get our money back. We about to get our family back. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I still believe that God about to turn this thing around.
And no longer do I get bothered by the empty seats, because I know some good word is going from this pulpit. They just better catch up. If they don't know it, they just don't know it. They just dull. That's one thing about Muncie. Muncie is sometimes dull. But baby, you can drop me in any city and I still preach the word of God, because I got power from on high. I've been through something and I know what I'm talking about. And this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. And since the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away.
Amen.
Can't stop my joy. I've been having fun when I ain't supposed to have fun. Alana looked at me. She's like, Daddy, you are crazy. I be telling dad jokes that don't make sense and just laughing, having fun. And she looked at me like, what's wrong? One day she looked at me and she said, what's wrong with you? Well, here's the thing. She don't understand. When we had miscarriages back to back, I was crying for babies. So now that I see them, I enjoy my babies. I'm glad for my babies. See, she really don't know what I've been through. I don't mind a dad joke, because the doctor said I couldn't have a dad joke. But when God steps in, he'll turn a situation around. So I'm going to praise him anyhow. Why you do them silly TikToks? Because I should be crying, but I found a reason to laugh and have fun, because God is my joy.
Yeah, hallelujah.
And truth of the matter is, I don't need you. I'll sing to myself. I'll talk to myself. I'll dance to myself.
Yeah.
I'll laugh to myself. You ain't gonna stop me from having a good time. And I can't stand to be around folk that always finding something wrong all the time.
Amen.
Don't go to the restaurant with me if you got to send all your food back. Go on, I don't want to be around you. You can't find nothing you like. Me and my wife have got a habit. If we go into a place, we look at the menu before we get there. Pull it up on the internet. Find something you can like. Enjoy yourself. Learn how to enjoy. Stop letting the devil get glory. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
And then some of these Christians that act like you can't have fun. Listen, I'm going to have me some fun. I'm going to enjoy my life. All right. Next verse.
For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Here's the thing. Every day, you're getting more saved. You're getting the salvation of your souls. You're getting more delivered, even in the negative things. And so that's why I just keep on pressing. Because I'm actually getting better. Now, there are some things that take processes. Some things are hard processes. When you are healing from hurt, healing does not feel good. It can hurt. Going through therapy, dealing with things, pulling up old stuff. But the end result is the salvation of your souls. If your soul is getting better, if your mind is getting better, if your faculties are getting better, you can praise God. Some people, the reason why they don't get better, because they never do the work. There is a old style that doesn't help anybody. It's called bury it and forget it. It's a style that when you deal with hurt, you just sweep it under the rug. It goes away from your immediate view, but it's still under the rug.
Right.
Eventually, the rug won't be able to handle everything you done swept under. At some point, you're going to have to deal with it. And it's better to deal with it in doses than have to deal with it in a big way. So you can't bury it and forget it. Some stuff you just got to face. But even in the facing, it's a salvation of your souls. Now, for me personally, I can't help it. I look in the mirror, and the older I get, I see Royce almost every day. And it makes me wonder, why is he gone? But I can't stay there. I can't get stuck in that. I got to learn how to move on, and my salvation of my soul is getting better. I keep healing. I grieve when I need to grieve, cry when I need to cry. Sometimes I laugh when I need to laugh, but all I know, I'm going to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
I'm keep walking. Sister Teresa, when she's looking for her twin, she could get stuck in that, but she got to keep on moving forward.
Right.
If you see the smile on her face some days, it don't make sense. For her to smile the way she's smiling. But she's learning that at the end of the day, her soul is still being saved and delivered. And she's still moving on. It don't make sense, But sometimes faith don't make sense. Sometimes God don't make sense. And that's why when we get blessed, and Sister Teresa, when you get blessed, don't apologize for the blessing. Because you done been through the hell. Brother Doug and Sister Krista, when you get the reward, don't apologize for it. Because you've been through the hell. Mother Mitchell, when you get the reward, don't apologize for it because you've been through the hell. At the end of the day, the salvation of your souls, and it don't make sense, but it does make God. So what does this got to do at all with the topic, belong? You preaching, it sound good, but I'm not for sure what it's got to do with the topic. Well, let's put this up here. When you look up the words of the points, the hope, the inheritance and the salvation, they equal his. So put this verse up, 1 Corinthians 6:20. Actually, I'll just read 1 Corinthians 6:20 NLV says, God bought you with a great price. So honor God with your body. You belong to him. See, what I'm talking about, the things that we are going through, the reason why we're able to go through it, because we realize we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to him. Truth of the matter is, yes, I'm up here and preaching, but truth of the matter is, there's some days I didn't want to come. There's some days I didn't want to prepare a sermon, but I didn't have a choice because I don't belong to myself. Yeah. I belong to him. Yeah. And sometimes I had to ask him, well, why is it so hard for me? Why is it so hard for us? Why is it that other folk can go through less and seem like to get better, but that's really none of my business? I belong to him. And when you know you belong to him, it says here, then honor God with your body. Yes. Here's the thing. Sometimes I've lifted my hands up and wanted to put it down. And God wouldn't let me put it down. God, let me put my hands down because I don't feel like praising. But I can't control that because my body doesn't belong to me. My body belongs to him. There's some stuff you want to do with your body that you can't do with your body because you belong to God. And he paid the price for your life. And you have to understand that sometimes you just got to yield. Now, we got all these roundabouts now. You go to Carmel, there's roundabouts out the wazoo. And one thing I don't like to do, I don't like to yield. When I come up to the roundabout, I want to go. But if I want my car wrecked, I'm going to keep doing like that. If I want to stay safe, I'm going to, sometimes I got to yield. There's some times I wanted to go, and God said, yield. Do you know there's some folk I wanted to tell off? And God says, hush. There were some Facebook posts that I typed a whole 4 or 5 paragraphs. And when I got to the period, God said, delete it all. There's some emails that I had ready to go. And God made me to erase it. And the reason why I yielded is because I'm not my own. Now, when William McDowell was singing that, we liked it. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. I give myself away. It's easy to sing, but it's harder to live. So let's look at this as we move. Put this up here. Here's an equation that's going to help us. Believe plus belong equals behave. If you really believe and you know that you belong, it changes how you behave.
That's right.
You can't tell me you really believe and belong and it don't affect how you behave. Well, Pastor Andre, you know, I just like to slap folk, you know, and I know God gonna give me grace. You might get knocked out too. You better adjust how you behave once you realize that you belong. So let's look at what 1 Peter 13-15 says.
Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober.
And what?
With minds that are alert and fully sober.
How?
Fully sober.
All right.
Set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming.
I've told you, and I've been honest with you, I don't mind having a drink, but I haven't been drunk since 1995. Some of y'all can't afford to have a drink because you don't know how to have a drink. You don't have good control over your sobriety. And a lot of us, we need to be fully sober in order to do what we need to do. So some stuff you're going to have to say no to. Well, I got invited here and I know I'm saved and I can do it. You can do it, but everybody can't do it. So maybe you have to say, no, I can't go. Well, we're going to have mimosas in the morning. Maybe you don't need a mimosa in the morning. You might need prayer in the morning because you need to be fully sober to face what you need to face. Here's the truth of the matter is the higher level you stand on, the less you can get away with. Michael Jordan talked about when he retired, what he wanted to do when he really retired is go somewhere and eat pizzas and drink beers and get a pot belly. What he was saying is, as long as I was in the winning seasons, I couldn't do none of that. I couldn't drink what I wanted to drink. I couldn't do what I wanted to do because I was working on something. I was trying to become a champion. And when you're trying to become a champion, there's some things you just got to cut out. You can't do what everybody else does. You can't go where everybody else goes. You can't listen to what everybody listens to if you want to be a champion. If you just want to be a run-of-the-mill, just a regular person, do what you want to do. Be Burger King. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. But if you want to stand on a high level, there's some stuff you got to cut out. Yeah. Stuff you got to change. Let's dial it back and take it to some simple stuff. If you want to live a little longer and you have high blood pressure, maybe you can't eat bacon in the morning. You might have to let it go. This morning, I smelled some good bacon in the morning, but when I came downstairs, I seen Alana with it hanging out her mouth, and I was like, that's turkey bacon, ain't it? Because listen, pork bacon and turkey bacon, they don't even act the same. She's like, it's good, but I got to chew it a whole lot longer. But sometimes when you're working on health, you got to even eat stuff that you don't want to eat. You got to back up for stuff you don't want. Here's the thing. It's because you understand I belong to God. As a pastor and a preacher, there's some things I just cannot do. Just won't do. Because I have to stand. But here's the thing. Because I reflect on y'all. Now, I know that I reflect on y'all. I wish y'all knew you reflect on me.
Amen.
Yeah, say amen or ouch. Yes, you have a nice shape. But if you're in the park showing all of that, guess who it reflects on? It reflects on me.
Yes.
I'm not married to you. I'm not dating you. I have a wife, but your actions still reflect on me. When you cuss all on Facebook, it reflects on the church you go to.
Amen.
But not only does it reflect on the church, it reflects on the God that you say that you belong to. So if you believe you belong, it ought to change how you behave. All right, let's read on some more. Y'all liked it when I was talking about the other stuff. This is a little different. Read this part.
As obedient children.
What kind of children?
Obedient.
Yeah.
Do not conform to the evil desires when you have lived in ignorance.
The evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. So when you are ignorant of what God was doing in your life, you did some dumb stuff. But now that you understand you belong, don't conform to the evil desires. Now here's the thing. You still gonna have the desires. He's just saying don't conform to them. Some people act like when I get saved, I don't have no temptation to evil. I don't know what kind of saved you got. Now let me be crass for a moment. If you a man, big booty's always going to be a big booty. It ain't going to change. You just got to figure out how not to conform to it. To y'all women who like six-pack abs, they ain't going nowhere. They going to be the same. But if those six-pack abs are tied to a man, that's not going to do you right. You can't conform to those desires. And if you do conform to the desires, you can't be surprised at the consequences you get when you consistently conform to things when you no longer belong. You don't belong. Can't do what you used to do. Because of the job that I work, a lot of times people transfer from other places. And when they transfer from other places, they're like, at the other place, we didn't do it this way. Well, you're not there. You're here. And this is the way we do it here. And if you belong to God, I don't care what you used to do. You can't do what you used to do because you belong to somebody else. Well, see, when I was dating her, she used to like me to blow in her ear. Well, you ain't dating her. You dating this one. So you can't do what you... All right, that's enough of that. Next verse.
But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do.
In all you do. Let's read 1 Peter 1:18.
Keep going. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of the life handed down to you from your ancestors.
In other words, the price was high, read.
But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect.
Think about what was paid for you. Next verse.
He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake.
Here's the last and final verse.
Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God.
So the hope, the inheritance, and the salvation is all in God, and in God you belong. Somebody say, I belong to God. Here's the confession. Let's rise to our feet. We're going to go into our confession. I'll read it first, and then we'll say it together. And even the things that I'm just sharing, a lot of y'all have been putting away those things and working through them. That's why the devil is fighting. I'm going to tell you something. If y'all just live in any kind of way you want to live, the devil wouldn't fight you. Ludacris said it this way. What you going to do? Act a fool. Well, we can't act a fool because we belong to God. And I can tell some of y'all are no longer acting a fool because the devil is fighting because you've been walking in the right way. So this is what the confession says. I belong to God. I am his and he is mine. May my life reflect the price he paid for me and may I walk in victory. Let's do it together. I belong to God. We're going to do that three times. I belong to God. Third time, I belong to God. I am his and he is mine. I am his and he is mine. May my life reflect the price he paid for me. May my life reflect the price he paid for me. And may I walk in victory. And may I walk in victory. And may I walk in victory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, because we belong, there's a certain level of victory that we will stand on. So God, move us into our victory. God, shape and adjust our behavior to prove that we believe what we belong to. And God, reward us and bring victory in our lives and show that ugly, slew-footed devil, Satan, that he has no authority over our lives. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, you can please come up to the front. God bless you. Have a great, wonderful, and a marvelous week.